Millions of gallons of oil, a billion plus to clean it up so far.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. BP just issued its latest tally on what it's spent so far cleaning up and responding to the oil mess in the Gulf of Mexico. $1.25 billion. And the company has some hopeful news on efforts to control the gusher. Its containment cap is capturing more oil than first thought, it says. Chief Executive Tony Hayward tells the BBC he believes the cap is likely to capture probably the vast majority of the oil gushing from the well. Executives from the British company that also almost bought a big chunk of the insurance giant AIG are just about to sit down at a meeting with annoyed shareholders today. Prudential will have to explain why it spent more than $600 million on a deal that never happened. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports.
When you consider that Prudential was willing to pay more than $30 billion for AIG's Asian operations, maybe $600 million isn't such a big deal.
It's insignificant in a totality of what the acquisition would have meant to them.
Carrie Burcham with the law firm Akin Gump advises companies on mergers and acquisitions. She says the price tag results from all the things that had to be done just in case the deal went through, kind of like getting ready for a wedding.
The food's been bought, it's been prepared, and you've bought the flowers, and somebody else bought the flowers, and you know, things are getting done in anticipation for the day.
Except in this case, instead of flowers and cake, it's lawyers, translators, bankers, and accountants preparing for a corporate marriage that fell through. Then there's the breakup fee. Prudential will pay AIG more than $200 million because it backed out of the deal. Chalk that up to lost opportunities for AIG to shop itself around elsewhere, and all the costs it had to incur just in case. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Asian stock markets tumbled today, and European markets are also lower by around 1% at this hour. Analysts say investors remain nervous over weak U.S. employment figures and fresh fears that Europe's debt crisis is spreading to Hungary. Wall Street will be trying to climb back from its third worst point decline of the year on Friday. That left the Dow Industrials below the 10,000 mark. The Canadian government is spending a whopping $1 billion on security for the G8 and G20 summits of the world's leading economies later this month. Part of that money will finance a giant fence around downtown Toronto, where the G20 will be held. Anyone who wants to get through will have to have ID, as Marketplace's Sean Cole reports.
A couple of weeks ago, some activists held a press conference opposing the G20 and the summit in Toronto, and one of them said this.
The G20 summit in Toronto will create checkpoints in the city.
And I thought, oh, you're exaggerating. It's not going to create checkpoints in the city. And then the police said, no, really, we're going to create checkpoints in the city.
Yes.
Can you show me on this map?
So it's anybody...
Megan Gray is with the Toronto Police G20 planning team. She says people who want to get past the security fence downtown will have to show ID and say where they're going and why. But about 40,000 people who live and work in the area can apply for a special ID to get through faster. And many have.
It's almost like a credit card looking...
Can you use it like a credit card?
No, you can't use it like a credit card. It looks like a credit card.
Gray says the point is to make things easier on Torontonians. But the Canadian Civil Liberties Association wasn't pleased. Applying for the special passes means giving the cops your name and address. And normally, they would keep that information for a year. But Gray says they're not doing that in this case.
And the information will be destroyed immediately following the summit.
Totally swear.
Well, it's been put forward, and that's what we'll be doing. That's part of our plan.
I thought this might help put the locals at ease. But Albert Serfati, who runs a printing shop within the perimeter, says that's not what he's worried about.
What I'm more worried about is losing business. Because that's what's going to happen. We're all going to take a hit. And everybody I spoke to in the area is not happy about it.
Besides, he says, suppose everybody who lives and works downtown does try to get through the fence with the express pass.
Does that mean there's going to be 300-400 people lining up to get in? Like, who knows? Nobody really knows. All I know, it's a pain.
And this is what I hear over and over again the more I talk with people in Toronto. We are in the dark, they say. Gray says the police are doing their best to keep everyone informed, but even they aren't sure yet how many checkpoints there will be or exactly when the fence will be locked. They do plan to hand out the special passes well before the summit, just in case they need to lock down downtown a week early. In Toronto, I'm Sean Cole for Marketplace.
Mark. Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com.
Have you ever flipped through the bins at a used record store and seen those promotional CDs labeled not for sale? Well, apparently the music industry means it. One record label is suing a guy for selling those freebies on eBay. The two sides will argue in a federal appeals court in Seattle today. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Troy Augusto does a healthy business selling rare and collectible CDs on eBay, but when he tried to sell a promo copy of this Lionel Richie song, the record label sued. Universal Music Group lost the case in 2008, but appealed. The nonprofit Electronic Frontier Foundation took up Augusto's case. The group's Fred von Lohmann says the Copyright Act is very clear.
If you own a copy of a book or CD or any other copyrighted work that was lawfully made, you have the right to dispose of that as you see fit.
Universal and its lawyers didn't return calls for comment, but the company argues promotional CDs are the property of the record label and can't be sold. If the label wins, von Lohmann says the outcome could affect book and record stores, video rental shops, libraries, anyone who sells or distributes used media. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And finally, Yahoo is getting a facelift from Facebook. It's part of a series of changes Yahoo is rolling out this week. Its website will import personal updates from Facebook's social network for users who want a bridge between two of the world's most popular websites. Now, in order for those changes to show up on Yahoo, the Facebook link will need to be turned on by each Yahoo user. Other tools will empower people to automatically let their Facebook friends know what they're doing and saying on Yahoo services, such as its photo-sharing site Flickr. The additional tie-ins follow through on a makeover Yahoo announced late last year in an effort to make its website more compelling, which I now read to mean, if I want to be compelling, gotta be on Facebook. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.